Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here. Whoa!
And we're back for another episode of the Moto 247 show. I believe it's episode 60. Here with Dean Taylor and Joey Crown. Recapping a crazy night of racing for round seven. So I'm almost halfway through, and I think last night's racing was pretty good. A lot to talk about. And I think we should just talk about the whole Faulkner thing that's been buzzing around social media. But that was just a gnarly crash, and we're talking. It seems like everyone was... Not everyone, but a lot of people are finally feeling like it was his year, and two races in, and we're back with another gnarly crash. I just can't believe his last couple of years of how they went. It's been pretty gnarly. What did you guys think about the whole, that whole ordeal and with the Deegan podium interview? I guess we'll get right into it.
Watching it live, time in it. Freaked me out, it's like, I don't know, like I said, we've been watching him for so long on all the ups and downs, and and especially with his vlog, and I guess Joey and I getting to meet him and hang out with him in Oklahoma one time, I feel for him a lot, and kind of grown to really like him, and that was like scary, it was like kind of reminiscent of when seeing Joey knocked out live on TV. Like, you're just sitting on your couch and can't do anything, you just watch him fly off the track and don't know how bad it is, and it was hard to watch. And like you said, after watching him ride so good up until that point.
I agree with Dean. Like, it's for sure sucks. He's been through a lot, and we butt heads there in amateurs a bit, but and I was never really a fan of just how cocky he was, and he's a bit of a punk, but he's for sure been humbled over his career so far, and I definitely think he's changing a little bit, being a little more humble. He's obviously really good on dirt bike, as you guys, everyone saw all the way up to the crash. That was a really violent crash, and thankfully it wasn't worse than it was. This was his championship, to lose, essentially. Deegan had a pretty big points hole after the first round compared to Faulkner. He could have just backed off and settled for second, but it's hard in the moment. You have the win right there. You definitely want to push to hold on to it.
Been a huge, he would have had a huge lead going into round three of their championship. Like, if he would have won that, obviously he would have had 50 points there. Anstey is 38 right now, so that would have put Anstey to 37. So with a 13-point lead, then let's say he does get passed by Deegan and settles for second. That's almost worst case scenario without obviously crashing or anything there. And he would be at 47 points with a 10-point lead going into round three. So it felt like it was like what you guys were saying. It was finally his year. And it seems like ever since he's been starting to get hurt and stuff, because he was on that streak for a while where he wasn't getting hurt, just kept on building and building and going from amateurs into the first couple of years in the pros and doing really good, and having that lead over Chase Sexton whatever year that was, 19 or so, going into the last couple of rounds, and now it seems like ever since he's been back, he's just been a little bit further back in the pack, and since he's just trying to play catch up. And I remember watching him at Red Bud a couple of years ago, and he was just right there hovering outside the top 10 like the whole moto, and it definitely didn't look like what he's showed before then and what he's capable of, and it's been really cool. Even then, like that year, that had to be like 21 or maybe 22 at Red Bud I'm talking about, but like I still wasn't a fan of his. I didn't like seeing, I don't like seeing anyone get hurt or anything like that, but definitely wasn't rooting for him. But this year I can say it was the first time. Like, I felt bad last year when he went down, obviously, but I wasn't rooting for him then. But this year for sure I kind of got on that just the all fun brand, I guess, and I was rooting for him, and I was really pumped for him in Detroit, and definitely wanted them to win round one. And then going in, you know, the first, 13 minutes or whatever that race, was super stoked. And even, like, what we're saying, like even if he gets passed by Deegan, no big deal. He's still going to have over a 10-point, you know, points lead going into round three. And Deegan's even further back there with that, you know, that horrible ride in Detroit from, you know, that first-turn pileup. But, yeah, just super unfortunate. And I'm just curious what the next step is going to be and how long he's going to be out. And yeah, I saw Rhino posted a video too. He did a long post about a long video talking about last night and just everything, you know, his thoughts on that and thoughts on riders when they, you know, keep on getting knocked down and keep on coming back. And it definitely reminded me a lot of, you know, watching you, Joey, just over the years, just, I can't imagine what it's like that, you know, right when you feel like you're starting to, you know, find some speed and everything and just get, you know, knocked right back down. So, yeah, it just really sucks. After that, right when that happened, I felt like my heart jumped out of my chest there, and I was just like, the last 5 minutes of that race, just kind of like just hoping he was okay. Like, I didn't even really watch the rest of it, like, more or less just hoping he was all right and glad to see him walk off, even though that looked really sketchy. I'm not sure why they did that. I see people on Twitter like arguing that they shouldn't have done that. I'm no doctor or anything, but I saw a stretcher out, so I don't know why they didn't use one, but I know that's big debates going on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I'm just glad it wasn't worse and he actually got up. And yeah, it was just gnarly, but heck, we're going into round three now with Max Anstey as the points leader. I guess I did not see this one coming. Yeah, so a little bit of a new championship here, and let me get the points up. So yeah, going into round three, it's Anstey and Pierce Brown. Pierce Brown's been quiet there, but yeah, he's 4 points down, and Benix in third, and Cody Shock's tied for third, so that's pretty crazy too. So yeah, it's gonna be a wild championship. Then Hayden Deegan's there in fifth; he's only 7 points down. So this is a totally different championship now than it would have been just even if, you know, Faulkner settles for second there. So a wild race, but man, just a crazy race besides that. Like, what do you guys think about, I guess, I know going into the season, everyone thought Anstey was going to be the guy, you know, a bunch of rumors that he was hauling, but I think he's been putting in some pretty good rides. Just, I think, not that many people are talking about him right now, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's just riding the same as what we've seen from him in the past, just kind of just taking what comes to him in the race, you know, not coming out there and, you know, laying it down or nothing like that. He's just wherever he gets on the start, he just kind of stays right around there and just smooth, consistent laps, but not like lightning fast charging through the pack. You know, I've never seen him show that type of stuff. You know, even when he won in New Jersey in the mud last year, he got the start and just rode a smart race.
Yeah, so I guess going into round three, Daytona is obviously a little bit different than the traditional Supercross, and I think that'll be a good one to watch. But I think it's now, you know, Deegan has to step up right now, and he got that win here. You know, he took advantage of the mistake by Faulkner, and that's one thing I guess I want to talk about right now so we can get this whole Faulkner talk over with and move on. But what did you guys think about the whole podium interview? I thought that was too far, even if it is true. But the call Faulkner out, and he did say, I think he said he felt bad for Faulkner or whatever. I don't know his exact words on that. So he said that, and he could have stopped right there, but he said, you know, he went on to say he let the pressure get to him and welcome to the danger zone. So I thought, I'm like, come on, dude, you just need to kind of grow up in that right there. And I'm just surprised.
You could see Jason Thomas just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm like, come on, like, the kid's growing up in front of a camera. Like, I don't, like, I get you're gonna be pumped and so much adrenaline going through your veins after your first win, like, just on cloud nine, but especially with Faulkner going down and like landing on his head like that, like, you just have to kind of contain yourself, dude, on the podium.
Just died.
Yeah, I'm like,
it looks like,
Faulkner practically died on the side of the track there, and he just ghost riding his bike, which I get with the whole, you know, Brian Deegan thing. But then he's, you know, talking about, oh, yeah, he let the pressure get to him. Like, I think that's fine if Faulkner makes a stupid, you know, mistake and tips over or whatever. But if someone launches off the track in a rhythm section onto, you know, bare concrete on their head, I think you can't say that at all. Like, I can't imagine being in Faulkner's camp if it's his parents or anyone around him, you know, on his team or whatever, and just hearing that podium, you know, as they're wondering, just, like, you know, freaking out about what's going on with Austin and how he's doing. I can't imagine that. So, or if it was the other way around with the whole Deegan posse, you know, and let's say Faulkner said, oh, yeah, Danger Boy let the pressure get to him, and the whole, you know, Deegan family is freaking out as they're trying to go to the hospital and stuff, and they hear Faulkner talking like an asshole like that. So I don't know. But, you know, Joey, what were you saying?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And then this whole, like, battle to the death or whatever. Like, I'm like, this kid's, like, such a clown. But, yeah, I didn't, like, listen to it that close. I was kind of, like, doing something else while the interviews were going on. But, yeah, it's for sure not very cool, not very respectful. And, like, he's young. He's got to grow up. I get that. But it's crazy with how he is and being in front of cameras his whole life. Like, you think he'd be able to talk better, but he's horrible at it. Like, being in front of the camera and talking, like, on that stage. Like, look at Detroit last year, when he took out Jordan Smith, which is, like, straight stupid, you know, in a heat race. And then he kept doubling down and, like, called him an old man or something in the press conference or whatever. And just kept doubling down, not just like, yeah, my bad, you know, whatever. And didn't handle that situation very good. And I was, you know, pretty disappointed in that. And then this is kind of another instance he's still got some growing up to do.
Yeah, like, I've been rooting for him, and I don't like the stuff, like, all the videos you see, you know, there's constantly Deegan videos up on YouTube and stuff, and I see clips of them, and I really don't follow, you know, that channel that much, but, like, I obviously we all see stuff, but he seems, like, very comfortable in front of a camera, but, like, just he can't contain himself of just knowing when to shut up. Like, I know everyone's different and stuff. Some people are not comfortable in front of cameras, or some people are getting used to it if they're, you know, moving up in the pro ranks or, you know, just trying to be around that and might say some dumb stuff or whatever. But it's like, no, he's very comfortable, but he just doesn't know when to shut up or I guess be accountable for something. It's almost like he's just been, like, praising his whole life, and he's never had to, you know, be accountable for anything or responsible or whatever. Like, I don't know, like, there's, we all fuck up and stuff in life and whatever we're doing, but you just have to, can't constantly, like, brush it off and just keep on playing that. Like, I don't know if he's just trying to play the bad guy and be like, yeah, fuck you guys, you know, like, just playing that bad guy vibe. But it's like, you just have to be accountable and say when you fucked up, because we all do. And then just hearing that, I'm like, I've been hearing that last couple of years, but I've still been rooting for him. I like, you know, seeing him be up there with Hunter Lawrence last year, and I've was always a fan of Hunter Lawrence. We're talking about this a little bit before the pod here, but I like seeing someone up there last year, you know, against or battling up there against Hunter, and especially how the Lawrence brothers are now, like, which they seem like great people, but just it seems like they're, you know, almost godlike now in the motocross world, which I don't like. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, I'm just, you know, been hearing them say stuff. Then after last night, I'm like, I can't really, I'm not really, I can't root for this anymore, you know. It's, he just needs to, I guess, grow up, which he's only, what, 17 or 18, so it'll come. But I don't know, it's just, it's been pretty crazy. But yeah, then there's the Deegan fans on Twitter and stuff have been pretty wild too. It's been pretty funny going back and forth with them. I try not to get involved or look at comments, but it's kind of funny just hearing them back up Deegan and stuff. It's like, yeah, calling out Faulkner and almost like you can't kick a man when he's down, you know, like Faulkner, like obviously he got up and stuff. They're like, oh yeah, he got up and he was walking away. He was fine. It's like, we don't know how bad, you know, this was last night. We're like, we don't know how bad this is. Like, you just can't talk crap and just to defend your guy, you know, Deegan there. So I guess pretty wild, but yeah, moving on to just the racing in general besides that. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good race besides that. Just, man, the 13 minutes of seeing Faulkner lead was pretty cool, but now it's going to be different. I think the racing is going to be pretty good going forward, though. We got, you know, guys like the young guys like Hymus and stuff that have been showing speed. VL's been looking good, kind of quiet there, though. But it's kind of cool seeing Marshall Walton get a really good start, too. So cool to see him up there, but he ended up getting 12th on the night. But yeah, I think Roman will look good. There's plenty of takeaways. It sucks seeing Jalik go down, though.
That's pretty early. Did you see the crash?
Yeah.
I missed that crash, but
he locked together with Anstey and then got shot off the track. He didn't say in his post if he's like hurt or not. He said he'll be back as fast as he can.
Yeah, I think it was just concussion, right?
Truly,
yeah. I think he posted.
Uh-huh. I know it's not much just concussions, but I don't want to keep talking about the Faulkner deal, but do you want to talk about what happened? Like, what his dad posted?
Oh, yeah. I guess we didn't talk about that. I kind of thought we did. Yeah, that was before we started. So, yeah. Here, I can bring it up.
Well, I didn't see it. You guys can talk about it, but his dad made an Instagram post and then changed it or something?
Yeah, he made an Instagram post. I think it was before Cowie's press release. And then he ended up adding in it and just almost taking out all the injuries, like the specifics, and then just almost saying what Cowie said, which is, you know, like what they say, we'll talk about it at a later date or whatever, you know, like really, really minimal details. But I'll just read his whole post if you guys haven't heard it or saw it or whatever. Man, oh man, what a sport. The highs are highs and the lows are pretty low. So proud of Austin for overcoming the adversity and setbacks that he's dealt with over the last few years. I'm confident this is just a bump in his road for Austin, and he'll be back on the top again. Injury update. Austin's CT scan on his head came back good, fractured L3 and L4 and back, but no surgery. Has to heal on its own. He has a broken scapula, which will heal on its own. So no surgery. They have been discharged from the hospital and heading back to Cali. Thank you for checking in on Austin. On a side note, Austin said one of his contacts came out of his eye halfway through the race. Maybe played a part in the misjudging the double. Not making excuses, but I feel that played a part. So that was his original post, and I don't have the new one up, but just, I think the new one was just that first little paragraph there of saying, you know, highs are highs and lows are pretty low. So, and pretty much what Cowie said. So.
And me just adding to the contact falling out thing. Like, I've had that before in a race, and it sucks for sure. And then also, like, now when I ride with one eye. But essentially, when your contact falls out, it's basically like what you're doing, because it's depending on how blind he is, I guess, or how strong the contacts are. But if they are pretty strong, it is just all blurry in the one eye. It probably would have been easier for him just to close that eye when he's riding. And that's like takes away all your depth perception. So, it could make him misjudge that jump is basically what I'm saying, like pretty easily.
I could imagine that, like on a supercross track too, being in the lead at that pace they're running.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, why I don't like the whole thing with, you know, Deegan saying, oh, he let the pressure get to him. I know that's a big argument right now, but even if it was true, don't say that. I think in that moment, unless he's completely fine and just made a little dumb tip over, kind of like what Jet did, right? Let's say Cooper was right on his ass and Jet did that same thing. I can see that, you know, mm-hmm. He'll let the pressure get to him. But to have that happen, then, yeah, and after seeing that last night or this morning or whatever that was, that post, that's pretty crazy too. Like, just after hearing what, you know, what you've been saying from riding over the last little while with one eye covered, it just seems really gnarly, and I can't even imagine doing it, going fast at all, let alone on a supercross track. And that was just, I guess, pretty crazy, but yeah, I'm not sure.
And then,
what happened with the post, if Cowie told him or Faulkner's dad to take it down or whatever. But yeah, I guess we'll get a probably official post from them or Austin near future or something.
Then before we move on off the 450 or the 250 class, how about that heat race? I don't know if it was heat one. I don't know which heat race it was, but
with your boy.
What, my boy Hardy?
Yeah.
And Pappy, yeah, he's not my boy, but yeah, Hardy, Pappy, and Linville. That was crazy.
I was dying, like on the couch, just watching that. Like I heard stories from like you riding with Hardy and just how sketchy it is. And then we saw stuff over the years on TV, and you've been there in the many of the races, and I was just dying the whole time. I'm like, this kid's gonna I thought he's gonna definitely eat it, especially before he got punted there. Like, I don't know how he saved that, and somehow he landed in the whoops, and just like there's thankfully no one there. Imagine if someone was there, like kind of like.
Yeah.
The opposite of your deal when you got hurt, though. Just the complete opposite.
Jumping into the whoops. I jumped out of the whoops.
Yeah.
But and then Pappy's kind of an idiot, too. Like, he's gotten disqualified from so many races from, like, cheating and cutting the track. And, like, I think he was banned from the AMA for a little bit, like in amateurs.
Really?
Yeah. So we got those two guys going at it, and Linville's just like in the middle of it, and then they both mess each other up, and then Linville's like, "Thanks," gets them both, and they're Pappy and Hardy still messing with each other. But
you going into the last corner fighting for 10th, like really that's gonna matter? Like, oh, a gate pick, one better.
Yeah. But then that when Hardy got alongside Pappy in that rhythm before. Pappy punted him off the track. Like, I do not know how he saved that. Like, he kind of did what Faulkner did, like, case that quad or whatever, but his foot came off the peg, and he still sent the next triple. And, I don't know how he saved that. And then the next turn, Pappy punted him off the track.
Yeah, I thought he was definitely going down in that rhythm there. Like, I had no idea. I was sitting there, like, I'm definitely thought he was going down then. I was just having as much fun watching that as it seemed like Ricky and Jason were in the booth laughing at them doing that.
Into it.
Yeah, like, this is better than any of the race in the front. I love how they're like, normally they cut right back to like the leader or something. And you're like, oh, why did you cut back? The battle back here is pretty good, or there's a lot of drama going on back here. And this time, fortunately, they did not cut back until after. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, McAdoo won.
Yeah. And usually I always show them crossing the finish line. It's like, thankfully they didn't.
Yeah, that was that last lap was really good. I'm like, especially knowing it was Hardy too, like, it would have been different, I think, just watching that, knowing if it was anyone else and they were riding that sketchy. But I'm like, knowing it was him, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if, I guess, if in, like, with whatever happens, if he ends up, like, just launching it or fifth gearing someone, like, kind of like fifth gear in on a video game or something, in the corner, just like going full on T-bone or something. I'm like, I'm not surprised with anything. And the last quarter, like you said, like, I'm really, like, they're really still going at it. That was probably better than any LCQ, I think, this year. The whole Cade thing, I guess we didn't have an episode after Glendale, but that whole thing was pretty entertaining too last weekend or 2 weeks ago in Glendale with the 450 LCQ of going around the outside there. I guess that really doesn't. That was the previous race, but what was your thoughts on that? I was meaning to talk to you about that. I thought that was hilarious. With Kay going around the outside there, then Starling had that spot and he just like gave it up. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was definitely ballsy of Cade, but I mean, he had the line. You know, he was. His foot peg was in front of Starling's front wheel when Starling hit him. You know, so that, like, really shouldn't have worked for Starling, but it nudged him just enough to push him off the track. And, I thought that wasn't very cool of Starling. And then it was definitely really dumb, okay, or risky, more or less, to do that. But
yeah, it's like, come on, like, cut underneath of him. It's, easier, I guess, watching and not being in the moment of seeing something that doesn't work out. But I'm like, come on, you have a whole lap.
Just, yeah, wait, too, because he's going so much faster than Starling was.
Yeah, then Starling just sank like a rock after that. And there was, what, four or five guys? Like, it was an insane amount on the last lap right behind him and almost ganged up on him there. Like, come on. Like, I like Starling. I like Cade a lot, but I was, after seeing that, I'm like, come on. Like, and I know they talked about it on, you know, all the other podcasts, but it's like, if you do that, you at least have to come through and get that spot. But I thought it was kind of, I guess, more or less funny. I'm like, it would have been slick though if Cade pulled it off, just going around the outside and, you know, making a clean pass like that. But unfortunately, just, you know, it didn't work out there, but that's pretty good. But anything else you guys wanted to talk about the 250 class here in Arlington this last round? I guess touched on, like, I don't know, we can bring up Romano. Like, what do you guys think about that? Just him being up there. I think he looked really good. Like, his first full year here of, you know, last year he was hurt and out. So cool seeing him come back. He's still, you know, relatively really young. Seeing him look pretty solid so far. What'd he get? He's right now 14th in points. So he's running up there, though.
End up 12th.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was cool. He rode really good in that heat race. Definitely showed some good signs of you know, he's deserves the ride. I mean, he didn't put results in, but, like, you know, it was a good sign of life that he can lead laps, you know, heat race or not. And he looked pretty solid when he was doing it too. So, I think that was his first ever main event, because I don't think he made it at Detroit, I don't believe. Be good to see how he progresses throughout the year. The biggest thing is just for a rookie like him, staying healthy and just doing the laps, getting whole shots like that in the heat race and running up front.
He said he got 8 points in Detroit.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, so whatever that.
I think he made main for some reason, but.
But still, you know, second
off on that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents on that, I guess.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. And, I guess the accident was kind of quiet there, but, you know, I don't think it was really that much of a surprise after, you know, a third. I don't think everyone's going to really expect him up there consistently now. I think some people are talking about it, but, you know, still a rookie, had a really good opening round, and still he's. You know, I know they don't show the cameras and the guys, you know, back there, but I still think he did pretty good.
Yeah, well, he, I think, was down in the first lap or something.
Yeah, he was coming through the pack, yeah, for sure. Like, I think
he came through the pack pretty good, so.
He made his way up to 10th, and I remember seeing him, like, down in 15th or 16th early on, so, yeah. I don't know if he was in the first corner or early on, but. I guess.
Yeah, lap one, he was 15th.
Really? Yeah.
And then I feel like he was further back than that, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised he made it up that far though, because for a while, like, it seemed like he was just hovering around 14th, 15th there. I could be wrong, but I was more or less paying attention to the lead group there. But yeah, I was keeping an eye on him after, especially after last weekend. But I feel like going into, I guess, Daytona and the. Just the rest of the championship, it should be a pretty good one. Like, Vial's been quiet there, and he's, you know, seems like he gets better late in the race, like they were talking about on the broadcast and stuff like that. So I think he's going to be, you know, getting better and better. And where's he at in points? He was involved in that thing in Detroit. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so he's 11th in points, so he's pretty far back, but I guess. It's almost like Deegan at this, or Deegan's in a lot better spot now, but like how Deegan, you know, coming out of last week and just, you know, and just needs to chop away at points and just see where he's at. But fortunately, it's crazy to think after, especially after how bad Detroit was, Deegan's only 7 points out of the lead right now. So he's definitely in a really good spot. And I wonder if Martin's going to be coming back. I think that'd be pretty cool if he can come back. And I saw he made a post about how he's not 100% yet. So I wonder if he's going to come back for Daytona.
I heard he's coming back this weekend, but I was like, there's no way. But yeah, there's a good chance you'll probably see him next weekend.
It'd be cool for him. His teammate Cody Shock's up there in fourth in the points right now, or tied for third, so he's still right in it. But yeah, with a 4-8 result, so yeah, he's doing pretty good. But you guys, anything else you guys wanted to touch on? There's probably something I'm missing, but I don't know.
And yeah, rolling in the 450s.
Yep. So what do you guys think about the whole jet thing? I guess both incidents, both crashes there in the main.
It's kind of somewhat ties back to what we were saying about Hayden Deegan, where it's like Jeff got a lot of confidence and he's very cocky right now and getting just like a taste of, you know, getting brought back down to earth and stuff like that, you know, like I think it's like good for him to have a little bit of adversity here while he's still young, so he can kind of grow and mature and learn from it. You know, I mean, it was good. It messed up my fantasy picks a little bit, but I feel like it still worked out. Like I don't know.
You still gained points, you know? On me, I saw. Like, we both had, what, Jet and Cooper for 1-2. But
I thought we had the same amount of points.
No, because I thought we did. Then I looked at the points this morning, and you had, like, a little bit more. I'll pull it up right now, but because I was kind of worried. I see you coming in fantasy.
I had Cooper Webb winning.
Really?
And guess
yeah,
what?
Yeah, you did really good, didn't you?
Yeah, I did okay. I got Cooper White, and so I actually fixed Jet crashing because I got Cooper White for first and Jet Wright for fourth.
Well, yeah, so I had Anderson and Sexton in there.
I had Tomac getting third.
Ezra, we got the same amount of points.
We did? Well, I got 45. You got 45 too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you got
Joey
more.
Joey got 53.
Who was that looking
Joey
at?
Joey got 53.
Yeah, I got a pretty big hole to dig myself out of, but I was so bummed. I picked Christian Craig for 13th, and then he didn't even race.
No, oh, I didn't see it. Yeah. I got we both or Dean. Who do you get for 13th?
I had Dean Wilson.
Oh yeah, so we both got yeah.
You got it right. Yeah, that's my second pick would have been was Dean, and then I picked Christian, and I didn't even take a look at live timing or anything.
I was just sitting there watching the race. I'm like, oh, this is so boring. It's going to be the whole thing with Jet, you know, just managing that couple-second gap. And no matter what Cooper does, he's just going to pull away a little bit. Then he went down, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is – like, I was, like, tuned, like, right in after that, just, like, real into the race. And then I didn't even realize until afterwards, like, holy crap, my wild cards are right. Normally, like, I never get that right. Or normally, if it's close, they're, like Detroit. I think I had Derek Drake, and he was, like, one spot behind that whole time. But he was, like – 10 seconds off or something like that. It was Drake or Chiz I had. One of them got that spot, but like 15th or whatever it was. But yeah, this whole race, I didn't even was looking at the wild card. I wasn't looking at it the whole time until afterwards. I'm like, holy crap. So I'm still, I think I have like a 1-point lead right now in our group. And I was talking to Dean about this yesterday, about like how I normally suck and I forget to make my picks. So it obviously hurts and puts me in the hole. And then I kind of give up on fantasy. And this year, I am doing really good. So I have a 1-point lead right now in our group. And I'm trying to hold that, you know, keep that going. But you were pretty far back, Dean. But now you're only, what, 204? And I am at 245. So 41 points down. So you're not too far back now.
Chipping away, man. I'm climbing up there slowly.
I've said it. Like, I think that's what you're going to do. And I've been kind of nervous. I've been out there in the lead kind of. Bragging a little bit, but like I kind of watching my shoulder, you know, looking back. Yeah. And not like I have a big lead this second, though. So yeah, Trevor Gunluck's there in second. So he's been doing pretty good, too. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to just start picking Jet every weekend. We're going into Daytona. I'm not sure. I'll just go with him again. I don't know. But what do you guys think about Tomac? He's on fire.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're talking about Daytona and looking at how Tomac rode last night, like, you know, and then you think about Daytona's coming next, and they say whoever wins Daytona.
Daytona, for sure.
Yeah, whoever wins Daytona usually wins the championship.
Well, normally I like the same thing last year. If I pick Chase, Tomac won. And if I pick Tomac, Chase won. So I'm going to pick Jet, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Tomac gets the win, or Chase, or anyone else. But I really want Tomac or Chase to win. I think that would be pretty badass, especially like Tomac after a start. Like, he had that one good Triple Crown race, and after that, it's like, okay, what's going on here? And then he came back swinging this weekend.
I mean, this weekend, I think that was old Tomac, you know, beast mode. Like, this is the best I've seen him in a long time.
And then Jet to hand him second place like that was pretty sweet. And like, Tomac seemed pretty excited, pretty happy about the gifted second place.
This podium interview is pretty funny. Fresno, I didn't see that, you know, that clip up on the Graham Moore or something, but I was like, I'm coming. This is just the start.
People calling him old. You killed it. But going back to like Webb and Jet, like, I was really impressed with Webb, his rebound in the main, because he sucked in that heat race. Like, I was just watching highlights, and he got the whole shot, and he went from first to, I think, fifth on, like, the first lap, and just, like, was nowhere to be seen. And then, you know, the main event, for him to turn it around like that, I mean, he wasn't going to win that race. I mean, Jet gave it to him, but still, second place in the main event after dropping a fifth in a heat race. Like,
but they said they said in the broadcast that, like, you know, they're like, I think it was Ricky, and they're like, you just wait, when the track's deteriorated in the main, that's when we'll see the real Cooper Webb come out and shine. And so I don't know if, like, just the track deteriorating and getting rough and rutted is what also allowed Cooper to kind of rise up there and be more of a front runner in the main, and if, you know, if that's what happened in the heat race or that's what, I don't know, it's just what they said, and I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But I mean, he could also just made some bike changes and found some, you know, felt more comfortable in the main.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes sense. It gets a lot harder to go fast, you know, on track it's rough like that. So where in the heat, especially them being first, track's a lot faster. It's a little bit harder for him.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that? With him going first, like, I don't know what the plan is moving forward, if they're kind of doing this, if it's going to be permanent, or if it's just, it was supposed to be that just for Detroit with the broadcast being on NBC right after the Olympics, you know, just trying to get more viewers or whatever. And they really dumbed down the broadcast. We talked about that in the pod so far, but they end up doing it again. And this is, you know, they brought it up again. I didn't even realize until a couple hours beforehand. I'm like, oh, okay, we're doing this again. Like, I don't know, it just feels really awkward, not awkward, but just really weird watching, you know, the 450 heats go first and stuff, and like, obviously, you know, for just fans watching, it really doesn't affect much, but I feel for the 250 guys in the LCQ. Like, you don't even have time to do anything. It's almost like those World Supercross races where you're, like, right back in the gate, pretty much. Like, I guess, what's your thoughts on that? And I guess, you know, Joey, go first on that, because you've been in, you know, those situations of, you know, being back and forth, you know, in the Supercross race and going back, you know, to the truck and whatnot, and having that time and how essential that time is, you know, between races. And then, like, what would that affect, I guess, just for you? Like, if you're in the LCQ, like, somehow got in there, and like, how much of a disadvantage do you think that would really be? Or I know they're talking about how, oh, yeah, more track time and you're kind of still warmed up, but, you know, I think that sucks, you know, just kind of going right back at it if you have, you know, had a LCQ 9 minutes before that.
Yeah, it kind of depends how kind of rider you are and, oh, like, if you need that rest before the race, you better warmed up. I don't know, like, I've always kind of dealt with arm pump, so if you're a rider like me and you got arm pump in that LCQ and then you're not able to get rid of it before the main and you're sitting in the line, your arm's still kind of pumped, then your main's wrecked, you know? But if you're a guy that, you know, it's hard for you to start hard in the main event, you know, start going like sprinting right off the bat, then you basically have a warm-up race at the LCQ to get you, you know, loosened up, so to speak. And then you can hit it right off the rip in the main because you're already warmed up. So it just kind of depends what kind of rod you are and how it is. But I mean, overall, the general consensus, still can you say that right? I don't think the guys like it. I don't, you know, the 50 guys having to wait, you know, when they get down the heats, and they got to wait forever to get to the main. Because they are first heats in the last main event.
Yeah, imagine that. Being, yeah, 450 heat one and going off, like, you know, right at 7 or whenever it was, then you're not getting to the main event until, what was it, like 9:30 or something, 9:15 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That has to be like forever. Yeah. Like you can almost, it's almost like two separate whole ordeals, you know, in between. Have that break between qualifying and stuff, and you get to your heat, and it's like, okay, let's sit here forever. Can't imagine that. But I don't know. I think it's fine or whatever. Like, I get for Detroit, it's like, okay, that sucks, but whatever. But they keep on doing this. And it's been weird because they really haven't talked about it that much. Like, I've just seen that the only reason why I knew about it was because the, you know, AMA schedule that was out. But not like they talked about, oh, we're going to do this every once in a while for more viewers or whatever the case is. Or we're going to do this every other race. Or they're just like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, like they just really didn't say much on it. So I'm just, I guess, wanting to know, like, are they going to do it again at Daytona, or is this a new format that we're going to run on for the rest of the year, or what? Because I think it's pretty weird. I don't think many riders like it, just from hearing what they say, you know, on social media, so, and interviews and whatnot. So it's kind of weird. But yeah, just imagine the track too. Like, imagine being 450 heat one, then just, you know, being on that really, really smooth track. Then you're just, you know, your next time, if you've made it through the heat race, your next time on the track is when it's like absolutely beat down and brutal. So a little bit of a jump, you know. At least if you're in the 450 heats, it's a little bit different, you know, after the 250s go out. But I don't know, I just think it's weird, you know, kicking off with the 450s, and as a fan, it almost builds up the anticipation of the 450 class, right? So the broadcast gets started with, we had the 250 class, which is normally pretty good battles, and it's almost like that anticipation of, you know, seeing Tomac or whatever. But now it's like, okay, you see them right away, and then it's like, okay, we have a couple hours to go before, you know, you see those guys battle again. But I guess getting back to the whole jet crash thing, what did you guys think about Freezy being involved in that? I know some people were pissed about that, but it's like that wasn't Freezy's fault at all. Like, I'll be, you know, the first one to post that what an idiot he is for doing whatever he, you know, does to take out people. But I don't know what Jet was thinking there, if he could really squeeze in the inside or what, because, you know, going into the whoops section, he would have to go out wide to get Freezy there. Like, if obviously if Freezy wasn't there, looking like he could get the pass there on Cooper, but I think he was just trying to force something, and who knows, maybe he could have had a couple corners or opportunities in those corners to make a pass if he would have just, you know, tucked to the outside there, or going past Freezy. But that was pretty crazy. I saw that happen. I'm like, that was like the cherry on top for, you know, the people that are not rooting for Jet. Like, just, that was like an extra gift, I think. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know really what he was planning on doing there. Is like, this is the bad, like, he read that situation really poorly. Like, Cooper was on the right of Freeze, so Freeze is going to hear Cooper and then see his front tire or front fender, and then he's going to move over, or should move over to the left to let Cooper by, right? So, and Jet was thinking he's going to come off the inside of him, you know? It's just, that's you definitely read that situation wrong, but it's like rookie mistake. It's, you know, Jet is human, so we've seen a couple times now.
It's weird. It's just weird, I guess, seeing that. Like, it's weird after
seeing that he is human.
Yeah, it's like, what? It's like it seems like he's some robot or something. So seeing that, I think it's like extra, I guess, weird. Or like, especially like, I know he's a kid and stuff, and still really young. But like you said, like, it's proven he's human and stuff. But man, what a hit though. Even if he got second, like, he still could have probably, I'm not saying he would have passed Cooper, but there might have been an opportunity, you know, in the next half lap or whatever it was. But even if he would have got second, you know, he lost two positions there, which are crucial points-wise. You know, now that's a few points there. So, especially letting AP in, and then Tomac gained a lot of points there. Or not a lot, but gained, what, like four or some points. So, I think it's going to be a good championship. Like, moving forward, Jet has a three-point lead over Cooper, so we'll see what he does. You know, Daytona, Cooper's looked pretty good over the last couple seasons. And Tomac's, like you were saying how earlier, how Tomac's, one of you guys said that he was going to win Daytona, and I think he could definitely win it. He's only 13 points back now, so it's still not too far. So you got that. You got Chase there, you know, sitting quietly in fourth. I'm just waiting for him, I guess, to make a ride or to have a ride like last year. Just have that pure speed and stuff, which we really haven't saw this year. It just kind of sucks with the whole mud races and then, you know, having him hurt his hand. So just it seems like he was a lot better this weekend. Is here how his hand was. So hopefully another weekend or another week of healing, you know, and he'll come out swinging and be up there. So I think it should be some good racing. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty good. But, yeah, man, Hunter Lawrence was up there. I definitely thought he did pretty good. I'm kind of rooting for him. Again, it's been a little bit, you know, a little while since I was rooting for him, though. But it's cool to see him be up there. And I don't know, I guess it's, where did you guys have Hunter Lawrence going into the year? Like, were you guys expecting him to do better or to be where he's at? Besides the whole, you know, missing the main there with that freak incident with Freezy earlier on in the year. But besides that, he's kind of been quiet and just hovering around that top 10 or so.
I kind of thought he was going to be top five. I was kind of surprised that he's like kind of had the slow start to his season. I don't know, just the way I view him and like type of rider I think he is, I thought he could just be a kind of consistent top five, you know, or at least kind of at least doing what Justin Cooper is doing. Like Justin Cooper's been quietly really good, I think, and he's been better than Hunter Lawrence. And like, you know, and I, if you would have asked me before the season, just with Justin Cooper, I think being more of like a timid rider and just, you know, not charging as hard and like, and then what we've seen from Hunter Lawrence in the 250 class, I thought the roles would almost be reversed at least between those two.
Yeah, it's been pretty weird. Like I've been picking them for top five of the fantasy for, or I was picking them for a little bit there. I don't think I had them this past weekend, but yeah, I was just, I guess, waiting for them to be up there and stuff, especially after last year. Like, I know it was 250 class and everyone, you know, there's the debate on that, but like he had a really good perform, or a really good year, I should say, last year, and looked really solid, and I thought he would at least have that carry over into top fives or so. And we saw Justin Cooper last year come over for a few 450 races in Supercross, and he looked really solid. You know, he was battling with Ken Roczen. It was in Houston or Arlington. I think it was Houston last year where he was doing that, but he looked really good. And so I was expecting him, like you said, to be up there and kind of what he's been doing, and Cooper's shown speed too. And I don't know, I guess I expected a little bit more, but it's not like he's had a horrible season so far. He's just kind of been hovering right around there, and I think he's slowly getting better. And I guess I'm more or less just excited for Daytona. I think it's for many different reasons. If I think Tomac's going to be up there, curious to see how Hunter's going to do, and Jay Coop as well. I think it's going to be some really good racing, you know, moving forward. Heck, in both classes too. So where's the point? Let me get the points up. So Hunter is ninth, so he's actually right in front of Jay Coop in the points. He's 11 points up on him, but yeah, right behind Dylan Ferrandis, which Dylan's kind of been sneaky good this year too. Like he's, you know, the last few years in Supercross since he's moved up to the 450s have been really quiet and looked good in outdoors though, and this year it seems like he's putting it together, and yeah, just kind of sneaky quiet there right behind Roczen in the points. But yeah, Roczen is another guy I want to talk about too. Like I think he's, like, I'm really excited to see what he can do moving on forward. It's just really weird in this championship this year of seeing Roczen look really good last weekend, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, and Glendale getting that win, and he's back there in eighth this weekend. Like, it just, it's just crazy what a good start can do. I thought Jet got cut off in the start. Like, I was excited there. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good race. And I saw him come through and, you know, get that hole shot and, you know, be right out front there. And a little bit bummed there, but it's just crazy. Like, if you get a 10th or 11th place start, you're kind of screwed. And unless you're beast mode Tomac coming through. And, yeah, I don't think that many people can go through the pack like that. So it's just pretty crazy. But what else? Is anything we're missing here in the 450 class we should touch on here?
I mean, you just brought up Dylan Ferrandis, and like, he kind of had some bad luck. He looked, they said his handlebars were loose or something. I haven't like looked into it to get the full story, but that was pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, I saw that in the broadcast. Yeah, I forgot about that. Slipped my mind.
Looked like his bar mounts. I don't think it was bars. It's actual bar mounts are loose. Because I think you could see him grab the bars and shake it, but like the bars weren't like rolled into his lap, you know. So it's like the mounts came loose or broke or something. But yeah, it definitely sucks for him.
Feel for that mechanic that, like, you know what I mean? Like, if something, like, did not get tightened like that, like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
For yeah, sure. That would suck. But I guess AC's coming back, I think this weekend, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard that. But
for Tona, I might have heard that. I don't know if it's rumors. I think it was true, though. Let me look at that before we get into something else real quick. I'll make sure I'm saying the right thing.
I don't know, it doesn't really matter because he didn't do anything worse than any conversing, but I had higher hopes for Time Master Pool.
Yeah, I was excited for him to come back. Yeah,
I did kind of think he was, like, remembering on his SMX performance made me think he was going to do something. But, like, all of his results in Supercross last year and year before, like, there wasn't anything impressive. But the SMX, the at the end of the year there, he rode really good, I thought. And especially being sick and everything. So that made me lead to think that he might make the main. But, he didn't.
Yeah, I think he got a bad jump in the LCQ there. And yeah, like going, I remember watching last year, and he really didn't do much at all. Then after the outdoors, and I was really, I guess, wondering how he was going to do in Supercross. And yeah, then seeing him in SMX, like you're saying, like, it's just, he was looking really good. And he did look a little bit off from, you know, the outdoor pace he had, but he was sick and dealing with that illness there. And I was pumped for him going into the Supercross season. You know, it's been seven rounds he's been out, and or six or whatever. And to see him come back, home race. And, I'm bummed for him. There, I want to see what he got in LCQ. Pull that up. But, yeah, what do you guys, where do you have him this week in Daytona? You know, more of an outdoor-style track. Where do you think he's going to end up, you know, getting? I think he should be there in the main somewhere.
It's hard, if he's not 100%, and he has, he's lacking those gate drops and stuff like that, hard to get like excited and for him to do something. So I don't know, it's really hard to judge. Like, you know, I want him to at least make a main, like, you know, like, it'd be cool. Like, I think for Daytona right now, I think this just realistically, I think him making the main would be, I would be excited.
And what about you, Joey? Where do you think he's gonna be?
Yeah, I think if he's on the bubble to making the main, like, he should be closer to Daytona than he was this past weekend. If he gets in the main, I don't expect much out of him because he is, like, you know, coming off an injury and not 100%. But, I think he'll be a little bit closer to putting in the main.
Yeah, he got P18 in the LCQ. He did get a horrible start. I don't know if he went down or whatever, but I remember seeing him. He might have went off the track. Need a little refresher on that, but I do remember seeing him really far back early on in the LCQ. But let's look at the results here. Like, for instance, I guess this weekend, going back, and Dylan obviously DNF there. So besides that, like, Raji Wageman there in 21st, Jerry Robin there in 20th. So, like, Breeze made it in 18th. So I can see him, you know, being somewhere up there, hovering around there. But I guess. I don't know. I'm just more or less wondering if he's going to be there. Or if, it's like even going up the 15th, you got McElrath there, which he's been, you know, doing pretty good too, and putting in good rides, and you got Justin Hill. So I think it's going to be hard to even be up there. So I guess should be an interesting race, or a week in racing for sure. And we'll both be there. You know, just, well, me and Joey will be there and catching all the action there. So it should be pretty fun one to watch. Yeah, last year was, I had a blast there, so it should be pretty cool. And I think it for the championship, like points wise, I think for both classes it should be pretty good. More or less the 450 class should be better, but I guess for 250 class, is Ansty gonna step up? Or I guess just wondering how he's gonna do, or if Deegan's just gonna steal the show. Like, he's only 7 points back, so that's nothing really with only, you know, two rounds in. So I don't know. Like, I just want some good racing. If it's 450 or 250, I just want really good racing and some good battles. That's all I'm really asking for moving forward. But you want to make our top three picks here for Toa? Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I got to meet a customer at the shop.
Okay, you know, kick this 8 off first,
on
I guess.
Sunday.
Jeez. And prostitute's job never done, Joey, huh? All hours of the night.
Yeah.
Don't right. forget your knee pads, bud. They told the top three. Right now I've got Eli first, Jet second, and I think I did Cooper Webb third.
Enjoy on the go.
Alright. Tomac, Webb, Jet.
Okay, I'll go with
1 second.
Tomac, Webb, Jet. I'll go with Jet. I hope I'm wrong. Jet, Tomac, and Webb, I guess. So, nothing really special. But, again, I hope I'm wrong, but I think Tomac, he's looking really good. He said, I guess everyone worried there for a bit, but should be a good one. And for the 250 class, I'll go with, I'll kick it off and go with Deegan, McAdoo, and Ansty. No, Hammaker for third. Yeah, I'll go with that. Who wants to go next?
I'm feeling McAdoo, Deegan, Ansty. I think that was McAdoo's first win, I think, was there. I think he's going to. So that's why I picked him to win, but we'll see.
I think it'll be pretty cool to see. What do you got, Dean?
I might go with Ansty, McAdoo, and Deegan. Really, I don't know. Ansty, you know, that Ansty. European league. Maybe, you know, Euro Sandy Track or something. I don't know.
That's possible. I mean, I would be stoked to see that.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Sure. Well, cool. Thank you guys for hopping on, and thank you guys for listening to the show. And, yeah, I'm not sure what next weekend will be, because me and Joey will be down there in Florida, so I won't be getting back till later on in the week. So we'll figure that out for next episode. I haven't really thought too much of it yet, so I don't know if we'll do something down there. If we'll end up, you know, doing something, it'll be closer to the following race after that. So, well, cool. Well, peace out, guys. Stay tuned for next episode.
Yeah.
Hold on the phone, guys, here. Let me just take this off and, yeah. Attention, motocross fanatics. Are you ready for the ultimate boost on the track? Presenting MotoX Pops, the vitamin-infused electrolyte-free pops designed specifically for motocross riders like you. With MotoX Pops, you get more than just a refreshingly delicious freeze pop. Our special formula is packed with essential electrolytes to keep you hydrated, focused, and performing at your best. No more cramps, no more fatigue. MotoX Pops replenish your electrolyte levels, helping you stay cool and focused even on those scorching race days. And here's the best part. MotoX Pops taste absolutely incredible. Available in mouthwatering flavors like Blutopia, Lemon Blitz, and Electric Berry Blast. Each bite is a burst of pure satisfaction. So, get your game face on, power up your ride with MotoX Pops, and conquer any track with unbeatable energy and focus. Coming soon at MotoXPops.com. MotoX Pops, the ultimate fuel for motocross champions.